Welcome back to our study of Revelation. We're going to pick up this evening in the 22nd chapter of Revelation. So let's just start with verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb.
So what John's saying, you know, this is carrying over from, obviously, from chapter 21. We're talking about the New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. New Jerusalem has been identified as the Lamb's wife. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so he's been describing the city with the foundation, the precious stones, the gates, all these type things. And when we come into chapter 22, he talks about a river. And this is somewhat hard to imagine. It's just pure water, clear as crystal. As a matter of fact, if you look at it, it's talking about magnificent as crystal. And this is coming out from the throne of God and the Lamb. It's coming out from the place where they rule, okay?
In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations.
Now, if I understand this correctly, and I've put a lot of thought in it, believe me, it appears that the street is running in the middle of the river. It runs through. And so you have this, the two sides and the tree of life, which produces fruit, is on both sides of that street. And each month is producing fruit. It says each of the 12 months the tree is yielding its fruit every month. Every month it's yielding fruit, tree of life. And then I can't explain this. All I know is what it says is the leaves are for the healing of the nations. Now, believe me, we've looked at this and we've discussed this a lot today. I don't have the revelation, so I can't teach you something as doctrine that I don't have revelation on. But just from the context, it appears there are nations. We've talked about a new heaven and a new earth, because the former heaven and the former earth has passed away. Now, is this going to be another civilization that comes out of this? I don't know the answers to it. But the leaves are for the healings of the nations. Okay? There's no healing inside the city as I know of. You with me? And so there's things there that we don't know, and it's foolish to try to speculate on things that you don't have the information on. And so let's just leave it at that. The leaves on the trees for the healing of the nations. I feel safe with that. Okay.
And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him.
So there's no more curses. Yeah, you remember the curse started in Genesis chapter 3, right? The earth was cursed because of Adam's sin. Adam wasn't cursed. The earth was cursed. And creation groans waiting for redemption,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So the curse is removed with this new heaven, new earth. Okay? And we find that not only is the curse removed, but the throne of God and the Lamb are right there in the city. I'm talking about this New Jerusalem. And here again, I can't explain this, but his servants, actually it's the word doulos or slaves, will be serving him in the midst of the city. So I don't know the activity of the city. I don't know what goes on outside the city, but I want you to keep this in the foremost of your thinking. This is a spiritual place. We tend to think of everything naturally. God is spirit. Jesus today is spirit. Those in that city will be spirit, not natural, not physical. It's spiritual. So you have to keep these things in mind when you're looking at this. Angels are ministering spirits, aren't they? So how will the capacity in which we'll serve the Lord is not clear other than we will be his ministers. Okay.
And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads.
Now, look at this one. The slaves of God will be able to look upon his face. Natural man can't look on God. But the spiritual man can look on the spiritual God. Okay, so then his servants, his slaves, will be able to look at his face. And then his name is forever in our foreheads. In other words, that's an identifying mark that we belong to the Lord. Okay?
And there shall be no light there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord gives them light, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever.
So, night's not going to exist in New Jerusalem. It can't exist there because God, the Father, and the Son hold the light. And where there's light, there can't be darkness. So there's no night in this Jerusalem, New Jerusalem, and there's no need to light a candle. And there's not any reason for the sun to shine because the Lord's countenance is more brilliant than the sun. The Lord illuminates the city. And it says his slaves will reign with him perpetually. Now, here again, I can't explain all this, but I do know in my simple way of thinking that to reign means you're ruling over something. And so we will participate in whatever it is that God is ruling over. Okay, there is a new heaven and a new earth coming. I'll just leave it at that, okay?
And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done.
So the one that's speaking to John and telling him these things says, what I'm saying is this is trustworthy. This is truth. I'm telling you the truth. The Lord, the Holy God, sent his angel to his prophets to reveal to his slaves that which will be done, must be done, in a short period of time. It must be done in a short period of time. I don't know if that means it'll happen in a short period of time, or it's going to happen in a short period of time. Do you see the difference?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm not sure what he's saying there. Okay.
Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book.
I'm coming soon. Now, here again, when you look at that, remember that God lives in eternity. There is no time in eternity. We live in time. And if I were to say to you that I will be there soon, then you're thinking in time block,
mm-hmm.
right? You don't think that I'll be there in an hour. You see what I'm saying? But Peter tells us that with God, time's really of no essence. A day with the Lord, it's like 1,000 years. I mean, that doesn't mean that a day of the Lord is 1,000 years. What is a day with the Lord? Well, if you don't have night, you have day all the time. And so we try to read into it things that aren't there. He is just telling you, he could have said 1,000,000 years, 1,000,000,000,000 years, or whatever. He's giving you a comparison. God lives in eternity, and eternity is not gauged by time. And so when he says that this period of time, then that's by God's timing, not by man's timing. And there's a lot of speculation on this. Some are teaching that everything in the Revelation has already transpired. And you get all types of schools of thought on this type thing. But now, the best gauge is to interpret Scripture with Scripture. And so I can go back to Joel, where he says in the latter days, this is going to happen. Well, one of the things he said was God's going to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. Right? The sons, the daughters mm-hmm. will prophesy. Men's service, mm-hmm. maid service, going to prophesy. Okay? Well, then on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and said, this is that Joel spoke of, that in the latter days. And so by that, the latter days would have started at Pentecost. But notice all of Joel's prophecy was not fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, because he was talking about the sun turning black, sackcloth of hair, the moon turning to blood. Those things, I don't know if ever happened in the history of the earth. And so I don't see how people can just be dogmatic in a particular teaching when we have no record that this has ever occurred. We know part of that prophecy has been fulfilled. We're experiencing that through the Holy Spirit today. But there's still things that I don't see fulfilled. Now, I'll give you another example. When Jesus stood up and read from Isaiah, and he talked about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he didn't read all the prophecy. He read the portion that dealt specifically with him that you see in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me. Thus, the last thing He said was to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He didn't go with the rest of it, because that Scripture was not fulfilled that day. But the first part of that prophecy was fulfilled that day. You follow me? Mm-hmm. And you have to take these things in consideration when you're looking at the Scriptures. Always compare Scripture with Scripture. I've just learned that Scripture will interpret Scripture. And that's your best gauge. It's not your dictionary. It's not so much your study. And I'm not against study. I do a lot of it. But context and what other Scriptures are saying, that's the vital part. Does it agree with the rest of the Scriptures? And you need to take all that in consideration before you make any determination, okay?
Verse 8. And I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things.
Now, this verse right here is going to reveal something to you that most people that I've heard talk about in Revelation haven't seen. John, after he heard these things that he's recorded in the Revelation, the things he heard, the things he saw, the person who was giving him the message, the messenger, you with me? John fell down at his feet to worship him. Now see, it's just assumed that Jesus is the one talking to John, but that's not the case. God gave the revelation to Jesus. Jesus gave the revelation to the messenger to give to John. Okay? And so when John falls down at his feet intending to worship him, you get the next verse, the messenger stops him.
Then he said to me, "See that you do it not, for I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God."
So the messenger tells John, "Don't worship me." He said, I'm a fellow slave just like you are. I'm a brother of the prophets. You pay attention to the message of the book or the scroll, and you worship God, not me. And so that tells me that all the way through this book of Revelation, this messenger that's talking to him, sometimes it sounds like Jesus talking because the messenger is speaking for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the way the gifts of the Spirit operate?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're speaking for Jesus. But it sounds like first person, when in reality, you're there just as a representation. And that's the way it is with this messenger, with John, okay?
And he said to me, "Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand."
So what he's saying is, don't keep this message, this prophetic message that I've given you, don't seal it up. But you make this thing available to where people can read it and follow the message of it. He said, because the time is set for these events is close at hand. It's near.
Mm-hmm.
Now here again, what's near? Because it says the time is close at hand or near. Some people say, well, that was close at hand in John, so it's all been accomplished. John's been dead a little while. But I don't see that all these things have been accomplished. And here again, I'm looking that time is near from God's perspective rather than from a natural perspective. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Verse 11, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still."
So this is what the messenger is telling him. The unjust will remain unjust. You understand? It's the heart. Then he goes on to say that the dirty will remain defiled, the just remain just, the holy remain holy. You can't make a tree produce something different than what the tree is. If it is a corrupt tree, it is not capable of producing good fruit. And this is the thing that you have to understand, that there are certain people that will never turn to God. It's not their heart to turn to God. This is why you need to understand these things to really get an understanding of the things that occurred in the Old Testament when God had Israel to drive the enemy out of a land God promised him. You understand, when God promised Abraham all the land that he walked on, what we call the Canaan land, that land was occupied, but it was occupied with unjust people who would not change. They were into every disgusting thing you could think of, and so God was purging the land, so he told the Israelites, "You purge that land. This land belongs to God." Do you understand? God owns the heaven and earth. You remember what Melchizedek said when he met Abraham? Blessed Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. God is still possessing heaven and earth. And so the territory is God. He has a right to give it to whom he will. But in this case, the people that were occupying it were unjust. They were not going to change. So God had Israel, seven nations, he said, utterly destroyed. Now, boy, that just tired the news up. Utterly destroy those seven nations. Because they are against God. They fabricated their own God. They worship a God of their imagination. They imagine it, they make it, and fall down before it. Get them out. Now, these are things that you have to look at the big picture, not just one little thing. And there's certain people that I don't pray for. And yet there's other people I do pray for that may look like they're in the same situation. But one, there's hope for. The other, there's no hope for because the person doesn't want to change. They're blinded because they want to be blinded. There's a difference between ignorance, blindness that comes from ignorance, lack of knowledge of something. But there's a difference between that and just absolutely rebelling against and refusing to accept truth. Leave it alone. Jeremiah prophesied, and he's praying and interceding for Judah. God said, stop. Don't you intercede for him anymore. That's where you have to be sensitive to the Spirit. You understand? God determines who's just and unjust. God determines who's filthy and who's not filthy. You understand? And so that's why it's so important that we be led by the Spirit. Does all that make sense to you? Okay. It's not that God's unfair. It's that God is all-knowing. It's not that God predestined. It's God is all-knowing. And the foreknowledge of God is not tampering with your will. It just knows what you're going to do in the future. You see the difference? Predestination means there's nothing you can do about it. You don't have a choice. Foreknowledge says, I know what you're going to do. You're going to make wrong choices because you don't want to make right choices, and this is what the end is going to be. And you have to keep a distinction between the two. They're not one and the same. And so God in his foreknowledge knows who's just, who's unjust. He knows who will come around, who won't come around. Okay?
Okay. Hey. Verses 12 through 14. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city.
So through this messenger, just bear that in mind, Jesus is saying, I'm coming soon with my rewards. And I will reward everyone according to his works. Now we're going to have to make a distinction between being rewarded according to works and then your eternal destination. They're not one and the same. Okay? And he says, I'm Alpha and Omega. The first letter of the alphabet, the last letter of the alphabet, Greek alphabet. I'm the first, I'm the last, I'm the beginning, I'm the end. In other words, it starts in me, it'll be consummated in me. And then he says, blessed are those who do my commands because they will have access to the tree of life and they'll be allowed to enter the city, New Jerusalem. But it's only the ones whose names are in the book of life. Okay? So God is going to reward you. You can see in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, you see that every man's work and he's writing to the church, not the heathen, that every man's work will be tested by fire, and then the things that pass the fire test, they will be rewarded for. Okay? But when you get to the 20th chapter of Revelation at the great white throne judgment, here again, he says the books come out. He brings out the books and the book. Not one and the same. Whether righteous, their works are recorded. The wicked, their works are recorded. You follow me? But your eternal life is not based on your works. It's based on whether your name's in the book of life. And we need to keep that distinction. Now, I can't explain all this, but even the wicked are going to be awarded according to the works. Is that different degrees of punishment? I don't know how it all plays out, other than it's all perpetual punishment. You understand? And that's about all I know about that.
For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loves and makes a lie.
Now, if you just read that, you think, well, wait a minute here. Outside the gates of New Jerusalem, all this evil? Now, here again, I can't explain this, but I will just point out some things. You want to read the other scripture?
Revelation 21:8.
Okay.
But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is in the second death.
And so you look at the scriptures, you pull the scriptures together outside the cities where the lake of fire is, whatever the lake of fire is. I can't define that. You understand? We're just told a lake of fire, brimstone. And so it's not that everybody's off of the hook and they're going to live happily ever after outside the gates. Now, the best contrast, or the best comparison, I should say, that we have of this is like the 16th chapter of Luke with the rich man of Lazarus. He can see what he missed. You with me? He can't get there, nor can Lazarus get there where he is. Those in the New Jerusalem won't be going where they are, and those that are in the lake of fire will not be going to New Jerusalem. That is outside of the parameters of this city. And here again, both are spiritual. You with me? The wicked dead, this is talking about the spirits. The righteous is talking about the spirit man. So both of these are dealing with the spirit realm. So don't try to put a natural imagination to this thing. It's the spiritual. The New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. So this is a spiritual kingdom. This kingdom of darkness is a spiritual kingdom. One is in ecstasy, one is in torment. That's your contrast. Okay?
Verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star.
So Jesus sent this messenger, his messenger to John, to testify of these things in the churches. Remember, it started out, John was to write letters to the churches, right? The seven churches of Asia. Now, what's he testifying? I'm going to tell you who Jesus is. He is the root. He is the kindred, the offspring of David. He is that magnificent morning star. You guys better get your eyes on Jesus. That's the message by saying who he is. Prophecy is fulfilled. It was prophesied that from David would come this seed. And he says, you tell them who that seed is. It's Jesus Christ. That's the root of David. That came out of David. Okay?
And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that hears say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely.
All right, let me say it to you this way. The Spirit and New Jerusalem saying, come. The city's calling you. The New Jerusalem's calling you to come. Those who are listening, you come. That's the message. Come. Come to God. Come to this city of God. Are you thirsty? Then come to this everlasting water. The pure water, you understand. And so the invitation is to come. And he says, those who desire to do that, then you take of the water of life freely. And so I see this as God's message to us. He's telling us about this magnificent spiritual city, that what it has to offer, and then the invitation, come live with me. Come into the city. Come be a part of all this. This will quench your thirst. Amen.
For I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book.
So Jesus is declaring, here again through the messenger, he says, I'm a witness to anyone who hears the words of this prophetic book or scroll. If anyone interferes with these things, God will inflict upon him the calamities that are written in the scroll. Now, you should look at the seven seals, the seven trumpets, the seven vials. Do you want those things that don't tamper with what's written? You tell it as it's written, okay?
And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book.
Now pay particular attention to this. If anyone takes away from the words of this prophecy, the scroll, this prophetic scroll, note that God will take away his portion from the book of life. God will take away. It's not talking about writing down. It's talking about blotting out. Okay? And he will not be able to enter into the holy city in the writings of this scroll. If anyone takes away from the words of this scroll of prophecy, God will take away his portion from the scroll of life, the holy city, and the writings of the scroll. In other words, it's a dangerous thing to put yourself in opposition to God, to where that's not going to happen, this is not going to happen. It's just your imagination. And people don't even, they have no idea what they're doing with some of the comments that are coming out of intellectual people that are trying to tell you that God doesn't know what he's talking about. Yeah, it's just a book of poetry. No. This is the word of God.
He which testifies these things said, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
Now, he just tells you who the witness is. Jesus said, I'm witness. And so, the witness of these things, Jesus is saying, I'm coming soon. Here again, by his standard, so be it. Amen. So be it. And John says, come, Lord Jesus. Come. I'm willing. You understand? And so there's, not only has he given us an invitation to come to him, but we should be giving him an invitation. Come. Come. Not just to get us out of here, but to live with him. You understand? Different motive. We have to keep our motive pure.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
That's how John concludes the letter. Well, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, Amy. You're in a period of grace. You're in a time of grace. Now's the time to accept Jesus, because when the grace period ends, then your destiny's sealed. But you're in a time of grace. Now, although this book is called the Revelation, many see it more as a mystery than a revelation. Would you agree with that?
Mm.
However, when one compares Scripture with Scripture and thoroughly researches the symbolism, you'll find revelation in this. I'm not saying you're going to know everything, but things will be revealed to you. This is the only book in the Bible that declares a blessing upon those who read, hear, and keep the things it's written in. And those who do not read and understand the things written in the book are prime targets for deception, which will ultimately lead to disaster. Now, there's many schools of thought concerning the symbolism of this book. And I've told you some things that the way that I see it, which is different than the way others see it. You have to let the Spirit of God be the deciding factor in your life. I'm telling you as I see it, okay? Now, opinions of men, you have to really be cautious with that and understand they're the opinions of men. And so that's why it's so important that we let other Scripture give insight into the revelation and that we be extremely alert to the Holy Spirit. Although there's many spiritual principles to be gleaned from Revelation, it's imperative that we understand that the events recorded in the book have occurred, or occurring, will occur. Do you follow me? Past, present, future. We have to keep an open mind to that. Not only is there a spirit of Antichrist, but there's also an Antichrist system that will seek to destroy anything or anyone who represents Jesus. The Congress and the Supreme Court of the United States of America are already actively opposing Jesus and his representatives. They're already doing it. As paradoxical as it may seem, the religious system of the world is Antichrist. It's a system. It's an Antichrist system. It was the religious system that orchestrated the death of Jesus Christ. No different today. It's still a system that wants to take the place of Jesus. So, it's imperative for every believer to enter into a personal relationship with Jesus. Jesus himself said that the delusion of the latter days would be so strong that if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. You see that in Matthew 24:24. All world systems are Antichrist. That includes education, economics, religion, and you go down the list. If it's a world system, it's against Christ. You say, we have to be diligent in our study of Scripture. We must be alert to the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we're going to succumb to the pressures of the world system. The education system was designed to take us away from God. I don't know if you realize it, but the education system was not in effect in the United States. I was a senior in high school. Jimmy Carter signed that in. You didn't need it. So why would you put an education system in? Well, the communists said what? We'll take America without firing a shot. What we will do, we'll educate them to be against God. We will educate them to be a communist. You understand, communism is against God. And so the education system has incorporated all types of religious material. It doesn't matter what your field of study, your concentration of study, they incorporate things in there to indoctrinate you away from following Jesus. Darwin theory. One of the dumbest theories there's ever been. And people fell for it hook, line, and sinker. Evolving. Well, anybody with common sense, if you've got enough sense to walk around the room, you should ask yourself, well, if that's true, why am I not seeing it today? If men come from monkeys, why aren't men still becoming, or still coming from monkeys instead of becoming monkeys? No, it's not an evolvement, it's a devolvement. Okay? And so we better be alert to what's going on around us and understand that the world's out there to deceive us. Do not become entrapped in the religious system of the world. You know what the message was? Concerning Babylon. Babylon's confusion. Babylon's dealing with a religious system that will be destroyed. And what is he saying? Come out. Get out of that. Follow Jesus. Now I want to tell you say something that you may not have thought about. Jesus and Paul and all the other apostles, their message in reality was telling the Jews to get out of the religious system that had been controlling their life. They didn't want to come out of the system, so they used the system to get him killed. And you'll find it all the way through the book of Acts, the persecution. You'll find all the way through history that it's been the religious system that's persecuted the Christians. Come out of the system. Come out of the system. Don't participate in that antichrist spirit. Amen. Well, that's given you somewhat of a teaching of Revelation. And here again, I plead ignorant. There's so much I don't know about this book. But you know what? I wish the other people that are teaching it would be honest enough to say the same thing and quit being so dogmatic in something they couldn't prove if their life depended upon it. We've been very honest with you, very open with you, and I tell you there's things I don't know. There's things I suspect this could be, but I'm not going to set it in concrete and teach it as a doctrine. Okay? I know this, that prophecy, all of it, will be fulfilled. If God spoke it, He'll watch over that word until that word comes to pass. Amen. Okay, that's it. Father, I thank You that You bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory. Your hand's with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make Your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up Your countenance upon us and You give us peace. So, Lord, we invite You to rise up, let Your enemies be scattered, and those who hate You flee before You. Amen. I spoke the blessing on the conclusion of the study. That didn't mean you go home.